We're back on session at 10:25. Dr. Cornwell.
So let's just rewind the agenda just a little bit. 5D, review, discussion, possible action for potential opening of complaints, JW physical therapist.
Professional member.
Mark Cornwell, professional member.
Mishka Remick, professional member.
Elizabeth Campbell, Assistant Attorney General, providing independent advice to the board.
Karen Donahue, Executive Director.
Monica Crowley, licensing administrator.
Monica Cardoza, administrative services officer.
Michael Dalbert, investigator.
Okay. Let the record show that the board members have been furnished with copies of the complaint and notice of hearing and all pleadings of record. Will the parties please identify themselves? First state your, first the state and then the respondent.
Yes, good morning. Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state of Arizona in this matter.
Good morning. Pina Laske, BT Assistant, license number 8136A.
Okay.
Representing self.
All right, and who are you?
My name is Decker Weiss. I'm a cardiologist and a naturopathic physician, so I'm dual credential. I'm here both as a witness for Ms. Lasky and hopefully a little bit of moral support. She's a little bit of a friend as well.
All right, so thank you for clarifying. Usually the person sitting next to him is their lawyer, so thanks for clarifying.
No problem.
Okay.
Sir, could you please spell your name for the record?
First name, Decker, D-E-C-K-E-R. Last name is Weiss, W-E-I-S-S. My credentials are naturopathic physician, and I'm a fellow cardiologist.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, since he is not your attorney, do you understand that by proceeding without representation of legal counsel, you are waiving your right to such representation at this hearing?
I do.
Okay. Of course, you may seek legal counsel in any subsequent proceedings, such as an appeal, etc. Do you understand that this hearing is your opportunity to present testimony and evidence on your behalf?
I do.
You understand that should you appeal the board's decision, the record you make at this hearing today will be evidence considered by the court in determining whether the board's decision was proper?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Are there any preliminary matters that the board should consider?
No, Dr. Cornwell. The state does have state's exhibits 1-9 that have been marked that are, I believe, going to be provided to the board electronically. The state has also provided those to Ms. Lasky, and she has those in hard copy.
Okay. This is a statement that I need to read. A hearing of this nature differs from a court proceeding. The technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, or otherwise inadmissible evidence. However, the board is the sole judge of the weight given to the evidence received. In a disciplinary proceeding, the state bears the burden of proof and shall go first and present its case. Then the respondent shall present their case. After it hears all the evidence and the arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case or take appropriate disciplinary action. Does the state wish to make an opening statement?
Yes, the state does. However, the state does have a preliminary matter regarding the witnesses in this case. The state's witness is going to be Ms. Donahue, and she is also designated as the investigator in this case. The state would request that the respondent identify her witnesses, and pursuant to AAC R219-108-118, I would like to invoke the rule of exclusion of witnesses. Thank you.
We just need to tell them what that is.
Yes. That's the look on my face.
Oh, I don't come often enough, apparently, to recognize the look. The rule means that fact witnesses are to be excluded from the proceedings during the testimony of other witnesses. I would anticipate that Ms. Baskin is going to designate the executive director as her party representative, so the executive director would be present during the proceedings. This would apply basically to Ms. Lasky's witness in the event that her intention is for him to testify as to any of the facts at issue in this case. So you would have to find out from Ms. Glasky whether Dr. Weiss is going to testify as to any of the factual items in dispute in this case.
Okay. Do you think he'll be testifying as to the facts of the case, or?
Not a legal mind. Clearly, I would have put on a jacket. I think that the facts at this point, if I'm not mistaken, are still in question. So I'm surprised they're called facts. Isn't this, you're still seeking things? I know there's been interviews and things like that, but I don't understand if there hasn't been an admission of guilt or a foundation of guilt yet. I don't understand how they're called facts, and I apologize, I know that's legal.
And that's, I understand your point, Dr. Weiss. However, this is really Ms. Lasky's, because Dr. Weiss is not her attorney, nor can he act as her attorney in this proceeding. That question really needs to be directed to Ms. Lasky if she's going to ask him any questions related to the factual allegations in this case.
Okay. So do you understand that part? So,
yes, I
do. So are you going to ask, will he be one of your witnesses that where you would ask him to provide evidence?
No, he will not.
Okay.
My only witness is Mrs. Sarah Burke. She's also patient named in the.
And will she be present?
Yes,
will she
we
be?
We could use initials from here on out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did read that part.
Good.
Will she be answering questions directed by you or someone else about the facts?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's been able to apply to her, and so she would need to, the patient would need to step outside during the testimony of other witnesses relating to facts, including Ms. Lasky, who is the respondent, but she's also a fact witness in this case.
Okay. So,
she needs to leave.
Right, and just like when? So,
usually before opening statements.
Okay.
But after they're sworn in, or when they swear in as they're not perfect, either way.
Either way.
So, just for clarification, will both of them leave?
Dr. Weiss, as I understand it, is not a fact witness in this point.
That's correct.
In this case, the purpose of the rule of exclusion is to keep one fact witness from changing their story or accommodating their version of the facts in view of the testimony that the previous witness just gave. It's to give the trier of fact a cleaner version or an untainted version of the facts. Does that make sense? Okay, so because Dr. Weiss is not a fact witness, does not apply to him, but the patient would need to leave before opening statements. Thank you.
Okay, so it sounds like you get to leave for a while.
Right now?
Yes, it'll just be easy before, because we're about to have opening statements, and we will come find you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, does the state wish to make an opening statement?
Yes, thank you. Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, Ms. Lasky. Back in Action is a physical therapy clinic. It's a physical therapy clinic that holds themselves out as providing a multidisciplinary approach to treating pain and to treating patients. Can that occur in Arizona? Yes, of course it can. There's many clinics that do this. But it has to be done within the confines and the laws of the state of Arizona. Respondent in this case is regulated by the board as a physical therapist assistant. I want to correct one statement already that she's made to the board. She said she holds a license. She told this also to Dr. Donahue in her interview that she holds a license. She holds her certificate. She holds her certificate issued by the board. In addition to her clinical duties that she partakes at Back in Action, she also holds a managerial position. She is the chief operating officer, and from what she told Dr. Donahue, she has been doing this for several years. She's responsible for scheduling. She's responsible for all the non-clinical decisions, oversight, and management that is done in Back in Action. She is responsible for making sure that there's adequate supervision, to making sure that the assistant personnel, including the PTAs, are adequately supervised. The board received a complaint in this case. They received a complaint from a physical therapist who was employed at Back in Action. And his allegations are that Ms. Alasky changed the plan of care and ordered acupuncture and also massage therapy on his patients without his knowledge. Ms. Alasky filed a response to that. She clarified, she stated her position on what she thought of the complaint. She denied it. What happened next in the case was Dr. Donahue opened up an investigation. She went ahead and subpoenaed documents, and she subpoenaed quite a few of medical records. We are going to be reviewing the medical records of three patients today. We have patient SR, and that is, from what my understanding, is the patient that's present here today. We also have patient EM, and we also have patient YG. These are voluminous records, and I'm going to warn the board at this point that it's going to take some time to go through them. But we will go through them, because when you go through these records, you will see, you will look through the window of these medical records here and see what exactly is going on with respondents' work as a physical therapist assistant at Back in Action. How complete are the records? They're not very complete. That's what the documents are going to show. Is there supervision? No. There is not one notation in any physical therapist assistant record regarding collaboration, regarding delegation, regarding supervision. But what is in those records are co-signatures by a supervising physical therapist, some that are as late as 7 weeks after the date of service in these cases. Some are a little sooner. You're also going to hear that Ms. Lasky told Dr. Donahue in an interview that the standard at Back in Action for signing records is 1 week. That didn't occur in this case. When you look at these medical records, and we are, again, going to go through all of them, that didn't occur. On a couple of them, it did. But on the majority of them, it did not. There is a significant lapse of time. All right. In addition to that, what else are you going to see? You're going to see that, in this case, a physical therapist assistant conducted an initial evaluation. Now, we've got professionals on the board, and we also have we have all professionals here today. So we don't have any non-professional members, but for anybody in the audience, the only person that can conduct an initial evaluation is a physical therapist under the law. Because why? Because they've gone to school, because they're a doctor, because they have the training and the expertise to make those determinations. Ms. Lasky also engaged in reevaluations of patients. Reevaluations of the patients along with the initial evaluation is something that's relegated to the physical therapist. That's their job. That's what they do. On each date of service, they determine the acuity of the patient under the law, and then they make a determination, how am I going to utilize a physical therapist assistant, and how am I going to use assisted personnel? Because they are making the decisions. They are guiding patient care. Just like a naturopathic doctor would be guiding the patient care. He would never delegate that to somebody who lacks the requisite training. That did not happen in this case. What else happened in this case? Well, Ms. Lasky treated areas of the body that were not assessed by a physical therapist. In fact, you will hear testimony from Dr. Donahue that she employed a grade 5 mobilization, I don't want to misstate it because I'm not a physical therapist, on patients to areas of the body that were not assessed. Now, is there a problem with this? Under the laws in Arizona, there is. Because again, the physical therapist never looked at this area. She makes an independent decision many times in these medical records to treat areas that were not assessed. And that is substandard care. And at the end of the case, you're going to have to make the decision regarding that. All right.
how does Back in Action use licensed massage therapist and licensed acupuncturist? We're going to take a look at that. You're going to make that determination. We're going to hear from Ms. Lasky. This is the first time that the board is going to hear from Ms. Lasky. She has not come before the board, but you will see in her statements, and if we take a look on the website, how are they used, and are they used properly? That will be something for the board to consider in this case also. So at the conclusion of this case, on behalf of the state of Arizona, once we go through all the documentary evidence in this case, I'm going to ask that you find that the state has established the allegations, the factual allegations, and also the legal allegations regarding deviations from what the standard is for a physical therapist assistant to function in the state of Arizona. Thank you.
Does the respondent wish to make an opening statement?
Doctor, you probably want to go ahead and swear the respondent in at this point.
Okay. And so everyone who's going to testify, we can swear those in.
Except for the person in the hall.
Okay. And I'll make a note to remind us when she comes in and she's ready to swear.
All right. So all those involved. Ms. Lasky, if you'd raise your right hand, so you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
Dr. Lasky.
Yes,
nothing
I do.
Okay, thank you. All right, now, if you'd like to make an opening statement, go ahead.
I'll be brief. I feel as though I've taken up quite a bit of time in this profession already. I can understand how there are already certain decisions that have been made. Sort of in the background of everything that's happened, but I do want you to know that I can only appreciate the time that you have to put into making sure that this profession is carried out by competent individuals that protect the public and ensure that care is provided the way it should be. For what it's worth, I thank you for your sacrifice that you offer on a monthly and weekly basis to make sure that everybody is staying on track with what they are licensed to do or certified to do at this point. I'd like to let you know I'm a graduate of a class in 2008 from Gateway Community College. I have a bachelor's degree from Grand Canyon University in biology, pre-physical therapy that was set up for me to pursue a doctoral degree due to financial reasons. I did not end up furthering my education. And I certainly took pride over the last 11 years in what I'm privileged to do and the help that I was willing to offer to patients. I treated over 10,000 cases over the last 11 years. And I've been under direct supervision, actually, in spite of the lack of notations. And I think that is the biggest issue I've been able to identify with this course of 2 years that this has been dragging on. The lack of documentation, the lack of confirming who's there, who's not there, who's delegating, and who is supervising everything that's being done in our facility. I came prepared to I guess, advise you on certain things that I really, really took seriously after my discussion with Dr. Donahue during that interview. A lot of these circumstances occurred because of my lack of knowledge. That's the best words I can find for that in setting up a proper
treatment facility that ensures that patients are cared for within the confines of the rules and regulations. So I made quite a few changes that I'd like you to know of. And since Ms. Baskin had mentioned, you know, the way that the practice is run, you know, we continue to offer what you would call ancillary services. So massage therapy, acupuncture, patients know that that's an out-of-pocket expense. If they wish to engage in that, it is open to the public. I do not recommend those services still under my certificate, but I can see how being the chief of operations and the manager of this facility, you know, that there is a bit of a conflicting approach from a business standpoint. So I will certainly take full responsibility for not researching and not ensuring that this again falls within the scope. So some changes we've gone through over the last couple of years now. We no longer hire temporary staff or part-time employees, which did start at the time, slightly before this complaint was filed. Actually, we've grown within our community so quickly. The demand was there for additional practitioners to be on staff, and such was Dr. Goldberg, who was the therapist that had filed this complaint. I am thoroughly making sure now, almost on an hourly basis, that a PT and a PTA's schedule lines up, who's where, who's doing what, and that there's consistent communication. I think it's almost to a level of annoyance with my colleagues, but I do have to reiterate that this is just something that's needed and that I've already gotten in trouble for. So this is being enforced on a daily basis. The lacking of timely filing for documentation and charges has changed. We are now on hourly treatment sessions where we do not require, and we've been trending towards that over the last 2 years. We now have one-on-one treatment times with the patients, so that allows for timely charting to be completed and professionals not be overwhelmed, including myself, and keeping up with those. I continue to audit schedules on a daily basis to ensure that patients are seen as regulated by the federal insurance requirements. This is something that, again, I've come to learn, and it's a great disappointment, and I can see why this would be viewed as a careless act, but no, I was unaware of a lot of insurance regulations that I should have been aware of, and I can't believe how much I really, really missed on that aspect, and I take full responsibility for that. I am meeting with the clerical team on a daily basis to help them understand why certain patients need to be seen by certain providers at certain intervals, as dictated by regulations from insurances and the board. It's a struggle. I have not been engaging in any sort of grade 5 manipulations of any kind. That was a area that I researched quite a bit because it's just something that I was under the impression that if it was cleared initially and it was, I suppose my competence was evaluated by my supervising therapist, then that was something that I was okay to do, and I should have done my due diligence in doing further research to make sure that I'm not only protecting the public, but my supervising therapist's license and my own certificate, and I'm sure that I'm doing something that I'm supposed to be doing, and this certainly has led us to open a lot more communication within the practice, within the providers. It's always going on, but I suppose when you have a clinic full of patients, everyone's on the run, and it gives this very, very minimal time of really discussing things in depth. And having changed the schedule and appointment times now, there is a different environment, and it has been like that since our encounter, again, to allow all professionals that are on staff the time that's needed for proper care. I've changed, and we've had team meetings after team meetings to ensure that co-treatments occur and that they're actually documented the way they should be. I feel like I have had absolutely no training in this during my training in school. I feel like I've not been held to the standards that are expected to learn proper documentation. And certainly I could have done a much, much better job at seeking help and making sure that everything is noted the way it should be, so that anyone that opens that chart can resume care without questions. So you can see, it's a bit lacking. I'm not looking for an excuse. I'm not looking to be exempt from any of this. I guess I'm just looking to be given a chance to rectify some of the things that have occurred and that I've been working really hard on changing. Certainly I can understand you have a responsibility of your own to protect the public and to ensure everything is done the way it should be. So again, thank you for your time, and I'll try to answer questions as best as possible.
Thank you. So that you understand, anybody else, the state is going to go first, and they're going to call whatever witnesses they have. You'll have an opportunity to ask those witnesses questions, and there might be a redirect by the state, but it's up to them. And then there might be questions that the board has for the witness. When the state's completely done, then you may call your witness or witnesses and follow the same pattern as what the state will follow, okay? So would the state like to call our first witness?
Yes, Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, Ms. Lasky gave quite a, she gave a long narrative, and if I could have that designated as her testimony, I don't know that she would object. I believe that that would be her testimony here today in addition to an opening statement. It is under oath.
I suppose I'm not understanding the extent of the...
You made an opening statement, but what you stated to here is a narrative. This is your position in the case. This is your testimony here today also. So in addition to it being an opening statement, it's also the testimony.
So will there be an opportunity for me to answer...
Yes.
...correct or, I guess, clarify certain
yes,
issues
yeah.
or...
Well, that would be... Well,
yeah.
I don't get to make that call, but yes, I just want
yes,
to make so sure...
Yes, to answer your question, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, you may want at this point to ask Ms. Lasky. She seemed to make a good many admissions in her opening statement. If, based upon the allegations in the notice of hearing, if she is willing to stipulate to any of those factual allegations or the violations in the complaint notice of hearing.
Okay. So what our AG is saying is, are you willing to stipulate that what you said in your opening statements are factual regarding the allegations? So are you agreeing that, yes, that is true, I did that, I shouldn't have done that? Am I making myself clear at all?
I suppose I understand, and I'm sorry, I get lost in translation a lot of times, and by any means it's not an excuse, but English is not my first language, so it gets a little confusing with the
That's okay.
Legal term. Concept, I suppose, or legal terms. So I just want to clarify, so based on what I had just stated, those are the facts that I've read up. I'm not really sure what's going to be asked of the state's witness. So I cannot for certain say that is how it needs to be. I have some notes that I took based on the interview that I was given, and so that's the written version, and I wanted to clarify certain things on there, so I'm not sure if I'm agreeing to things right now. Will I then not be given the opportunity to explain, because there's notations there that are, there's a couple of billing records that I think it was just not read. The time wasn't read on there properly, so I've gone back and researched myself. So I want to make sure I'm not
agreeing. In that regard, you've got some clarification on how it's interpreted. Is that right? So
yeah, I suppose yes, that would be a good way to put it.
So it's, I need some help here, but it sounds like she's not willing to stipulate, but. And we just need to move forward?
We do, and I apologize, but if she wasn't willing to stipulate, that would save the board some time.
Yeah.
But if she would like to present evidence contradicting the factual allegations as set forth in the complaint notice of hearing, then that would be the purpose of the hearing.
I mean, that would be up to, as far as the state would, Ms. Lasky certainly has the opportunity to, you know, present her case, to present her defense. I also did hear her stating that she was conceding that some of these statements were, that some of the allegations were true, and that they have made subsequent remedial measures. We do have a response from her attorney in this case that has denied everything. We had her initial denial, so, It's the board's decision.
I think I can have clarification.
You know what, Doctor? Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry.
Doctor Weiss, you are not an attorney in this proceeding, and as a matter of fact, when it is your turn to speak, Ms. Lasky will have the opportunity to ask you questions, and that is your role here.
My apologies.
I'm not really sure what or if any of this would make a difference, but there were some, I suppose at this point it might not even be relevant, but there were some notations on there where I had overbilled something and the patient was a date of service or a patient wasn't even in the facility, so I researched and that was incorrectly interpreted. There were three instances there, so there was an instance where there was a notation on the flow sheet that a cold pack was used for a patient that has Raynaud's. I researched that, and much to my horror, I discovered that was done by a technician that was on staff, and it was noted on the flow sheet, and it said clearly no ice on there, so there was no way in my practice I would ever do that. So, in any case, I'm not sure what difference this would make at this point.
Well, I think it's an attempt to see if there's any way to kind of a shortcut, for lack of a better word. If you are willing to admit that yes, this did happen, I did do this, no contest, and then we don't have to deal with that. Okay. If, on the other hand, you say, well, no, I think I'd like the opportunity to respond and provide evidence or testimony or whatever in every one of those allegations, and it is absolutely your right. All right. So it sounds like that's what you'd like to do, because you're not sure you're ready to say, yes, I did that, or yes, I did not do that, and let's move on.
Yeah, and I certainly wish I had not retained counsel, that's for sure. It just complicated things even more, it seems.
So I think what we ought to do is move on as we started out, and that for each witness, as you go through, she can ask each witness a question and provide additional information. Okay.
The state will then proceed.
Yes.
Is that permissible?
Yes. Okay,
thank you. Then the state, as the first witness, just to kind of clarify things, because I think we're hearing some different things, that some different aspects regarding the allegations, and I just want to clarify that so that we can focus the proceedings. The state would call Ms. Lasky as my first witness in this case. And Ms. Lasky, again, I'm just going to ask you some preliminary questions. I know that you've been asked these many times, both by Dr. Donahue, and you stated them. But you are employed in Back in Action currently as a physical therapist assistant, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and it's since 2008 that you've been there? Is that correct? Okay. All right. And then you were previously represented by Charles Struble, an attorney here in town. Is that correct also?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And Mr. Struble went ahead and he filed a response to the complaint in this case. And have you seen this document?
I have not.
You have not. Okay. All right. I just want to go over it, and I want to make sure that this is currently your position today. And the respondent denies each and every allegation in the complaint as not admitted. So you are denying all the factual allegations here today. Is that true, or do you want to take a different position on those?
I mean, as I mentioned after the meeting I had with Dr. Donahue, there was some additional information that was brought to my attention that I was completely off the charts with, and so yes, there have been things that I've done awfully wrong, and I will not waste your time in telling you that did not happen. I am
okay. All right. So the answer that preserved your right to proceed in a formal hearing today, you don't completely agree that everything in the complaint is, that you're going to deny everything in the complaint. There are certain things in there that you've now recognized are
correct.
It did happen.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Fine. All right. Now, you also gave a filed response in this case, and that is to the complaint that Mr. Goldberg went ahead and filed against your license. And if I can just draw your attention to State's Exhibit 1, it's in there. This is the complaint that he's filed. And again, I would remind you just to use the initials of the patients. I know it's really hard, but let's just all try to do that. What Mr. Goldberg went ahead and what he stated in his complaint was that there were some...
Ms. Baskin, yes. You probably need to refer to Bates numbers because apparently it's quite thick.
All right. State's Exhibit 1, it's under Bates number 1.
And then the Bates number, just to be clear, it's down at the bottom corner. So when there's a number being said, that's where you're going to look.
All right. Okay. And, I'm going to... If you don't mind, may I just go and show her on her documents?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Are you?
Okay.
All right. All right. You're
those
there.
Ones.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Thank
you. And then this is going to be number 2. That's going to be your response. So, thank you. So this is the original complaint that the board received from Mr. Goldberg regarding your role as a physical therapist assistant in this case. Okay. Right, and you were given an opportunity to respond to this document by the board, is that true?
That is correct.
Okay, all right. The state at this time removes State's Exhibit 1 in evidence as the board complaint. This is what was received by the board from Mr. Goldberg on 5/22/17.
So moved.
Okay, thank you. All right, so then Ms. Lasky, turning to State's Exhibit 2, this is this is your response, the written response that you were required to respond to in writing by the board. Is this correct?
Yes, this.
All right, and that's at Bates 2-4, and that's within state exhibit 2. Okay. All right, and in this, you go through each and every one of the allegations, and as far as, let's go ahead and talk about ARS 32-20-44-5, engaging in self-scan standard care. All right. This talks about the role of the massage therapist and the acupuncturist. In this, in your answer, you went ahead and denied that any of that, any of the, there's any inappropriate delegation or referral of a massage therapist or an acupuncturist in this case.
On my part, correct.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that was.
All right. And is my understanding, based on your answer, that at Back in Action, because these individuals are licensed by their own boards, that they are able to be utilized within the plan of care because they're functioning as independent licensees?
At this point, I don't understand that is not something that the Arizona Physical Therapy Board recognizes as part of a standard of care.
All right, but at this time, when you filed this answer, and when you were engaging this behavior with Back in Action back in this time, that was your belief?
That is correct,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. And then as far as the next allegation that you had to respond to was failing to report any knowledge of any type of inappropriate or, I want to say, illegal conduct by any employees. And you went ahead and denied that also in your answer at that time.
Based on my knowledge of the facts at the time.
At the time.
That is when I had... Yeah, that was my interpretation. So, yeah.
All right. But now, after you've reviewed the law, you spoke to Dr. Donahue in the interview, you realize that there were things that were occurring at Back in Action that were not in conformity with the law.
That is correct. And those have been remedied and have since, have been barely utilized. So.
All right. But at that time, and you had your interview with Dr. Donahue, I believe it was in January of 2018, prior to that, all the time that you were working at Back in Action, that is what the norm was, right, as far as utilizing acupuncturists and the massage therapist at the time. That was what was in place. That's what you did at that time.
Where it was indicated by the therapist or the patient had inquired because of the advertisement that was in the clinic. And just to clarify, you know,
my question. Okay, thank you. All right. So now what you're stating is that after some time, after some reflection, you have made some changes in your practice. Right. So in your response to the complaint and in your statements that you made to Dr. Donahue about how both acupuncturist and massage therapist were utilized in your practice, you made certain statements that really coincide with what your website stated. Okay, and I believe this is still on your website. The state would do states exhibit 2, and that would be respondent's answer, and that's at Bates 2-4, and the state would move that in down there, please.
So moved.
Thank you. Now, I would like to draw your attention to states exhibit 3, and this is a document, this is at Bates number 5, and this is part of the blog. On your website, you do have a blog that does both some marketing and some informational to the general public. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. And this is part of your website. And this was written by Chelsea Mazzella, and she is both a PTA and a licensed massage therapist. Is that true?
At the time, yes, she was employed with us, and those were the two certificates she was holding, yes.
Okay. All right. And the date on this is 8/21/2019, and you would agree with me that this is still up on your website as of today.
It is.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you. I'd like you to take a look at Bates number 6, and this talks about does Back in Action offer therapeutic massage as part of treatment?
Yes. All right. And what is the response? I'm going to read this in the record. It states, yes, we now offer therapeutic massage program at BIA in Phoenix and all for all of our PT patients. This is performed by Chelsea, our very own licensed massage therapist, has been practicing for 12 years. She's also a certified physical therapist assistant and will work with your current orthopedic disorders. Did I read that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So Back in Action had licensed massage therapists and also acupuncturists, and patients were able to utilize their services within the physical therapy plan of care. Okay. Now, at the time when you were in discussing this with Dr. Donahue, we talked. You talked a little bit about how that occurred, and so I want to take you back in time to when you had the interview with Dr. Donahue and what had been occurring that 8 years before. And what you basically stated is that individuals were able to, they found out about what these services were offered, and they found out either through your website, through marketing materials that were in the office. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
That they could do that. All right. And then you also stated that they heard about it word of mouth.
Yes.
That they did hear about it word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And you also stated that you would even tell them about it. You would say, you know, there's other ancillary services that you can go ahead and avail yourself of, and the person could go ahead and then just sign up for those services. It would be part of the physical therapist's plan of care. The physical therapist would review it either before or after they avail themselves of the services and sign off of it. Is that a fair description? That's based on what your statements were to Dr. Donahue in the interview.
Yeah, that would be correct,
I believe.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So the person would then be able to make the selection. They would go in and they would, let's say, have a treatment with an acupuncturist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Then at that point, the acupuncturist would go and treat the patient. And then the physical therapist, in this case, many times it would be Dr. Fandry, would then go ahead and co-sign those notes. And that's the way it was handled at that time. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes. Okay. All right. And then they were subsequently billed under his name and his NPI number.
I would assume that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And this is part of the whole multidisciplinary approach that Back in Action advertises and holds itself out to use as far as pain therapy. Is that true?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. All right. And then the statement that you stated to Dr. Donahue is the PT co-signs everything, acknowledging that the care happened, and it's for their supervision and for their billing purposes. And you would agree that that statement that you made to her in the interview was that is how it occurred at that time.
At the time, yes.
No. All right. Okay. All right. Now, the state would move State's Exhibit 3 in evidence, and this would be at Bates 4 through 9, and this is the portion of the Back in Action website that deals with massage therapy.
So moved.
Thank you. And now, Ms. Lasky, getting back to the statements that you made with Dr. Donahue. Now, those statements were not made under oath, but I would like you to affirm to the board that the statements that you did make in that interview at the time, those were true and correct. You were being honest with Dr. Donahue.
Certainly, to be honest with you, it's difficult to recall exactly everything that I had said. Which is why I feel the need that I needed to clarify certain things.
Okay. All right. But were you telling the truth when you talked to Dr. Donahue? To the best of your knowledge. Or were you not?
With regards to the practice that's occurred, yeah, I have. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Your statement
statements at that time regarding acupuncture was that that was something that as long as the individual was a licensed acupuncturist, that could be incorporated into the physical therapy plan of care, so long as they were acting under their individual acupuncture license, and it was co-signed by the supervising physical therapist. That isn't that correct?
I'm not sure if you're looking for a yes or no answer.
I am, because that's the statements that you made during that interview regarding
I think it's important to notate that, knowing that they're both regulated by their own boards and they have a responsibility to their, you know, holding true to their training, then yeah, that's...
Okay, all right, so they can still be incorporated into the physical therapy plan of care. All right.
Not at this time, no.
No, not at this time. Okay, so there's a difference. Okay. All right. Now let's turn to another area of really serious concern. As far as there, we have specific allegations that are in the complaint notice of hearing regarding performing initial evaluations and reevaluations of patients. And I want to talk about this, what is